The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It is an honor to have you with us today. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you listening to us on radio, those of you listening to us online and watching us live on our Facebook stream, welcome to you one and all. And folks, we've got a terrific show lined up for you today. A lot of big stuff happening this week. Governor Mike Huckabee is going to be here a little bit later on. Also, we're going to be talking to a state lawmaker out of California. Big, big election tomorrow. And folks, listen up. If you are listening to us in California, get out and vote. There are already reports of a lot of shenanigans at the ballot box. And by shenanigans, I mean voter fraud. A good many Republicans are showing up to vote, and they're being told they've already cast their ballots. So we're going to talk about that today. But I've got to tell you, tomorrow, you've got to get out and vote. Do your duty, and then we're going to figure all of this out. But we need to talk about that, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. Also, there is a national protest scheduled over these vaccine mandates. We're going to be talking with Rachel Hamm. She is organizing that effort, and she'll be coming up a little bit later. But I want to start with a couple of big stories, and one of them involves the vaccines. We are getting reports from all over America that doctors and nurses, and especially nurses, are walking off the job. They're being forced to get the vaccine, and nurses are saying, you know what, we've had it, we're not going to do this. We do not want to be forced to get a vaccine. We are quitting our jobs. As a matter of fact, so many people quit their job at one hospital in New York State, they've had to cancel baby deliveries. They don't have enough people working in the maternity ward to take care of the babies. And I suspect this is happening at other hospitals around the country as well. For whatever reason, this story actually made a little bit of national news coverage, but this is a very, very big deal. Last night, someone sent me some video, and what I saw on this video was incredibly troubling. I have gotten a lot of messages from you folks about taking the vaccine and suffering side effects from the vaccine. As a matter of fact, yours truly, about a month ago, I got the first dose of the Moderna vaccine. And a few days after that, I was in the hospital with a heart issue that I had not experienced before. And it has been a long process to get over that. So much so that I decided not to get the second dose of the vaccine. And I sent a message to the hospital explaining that I would not be getting the second dose. And now I keep getting harassed and bullied on my phone. I keep getting these telephone calls every day wanting to know when I'm going to get the second vaccine. Well, you know what? I want to live. I want to be able to live a very long and healthy life. I want to be able to come on this radio program and hang out with you guys every day. And I'm not sure that's going to be possible if I get that second dose based on what the first dose did to me. And I did my research, and after the fact, and I discovered that one of the significant side effects of the Moderna vaccine is, in fact, a heart problem. They don't bother to tell that to you when you're getting your shot, do they, ladies and gentlemen? No, they do not. There's a young man, college athlete, Division I. He is an honors athlete. He plays golf at Tennessee State University. This young man, healthy as a horse, Division I college athlete. He had to go and get the vaccine because the NCAA says college athletes have to get the vaccine. So he went there and he got the first dose and he got the second dose of the vaccine. And 4 days later, this kid ended up in the hospital with a serious heart issue that will now impact him for the rest of his life and may have very well ended his college athletic career. Now, this ought to be on national news, but you're not going to hear this young man's story. His name is John Stokes. We've got the video on our website, toddstarns.com. But I want you to hear, in this young man's own words, what's going on and what he had to deal with just a few days ago and what he is currently dealing with. It is absolutely reprehensible. Take a listen.
I am in the hospital right now with heart complications from the COVID-19 vaccine. And I want to inform as many people as I can about the risks from taking the vaccine that I wish someone would have told me. So I am a Division I student athlete with no prior health issues. And I got the second COVID shot Tuesday. And within 4 days, I have been diagnosed with myocarditis and was told that I probably won't be able to play my senior season now. It is a side effect from the COVID vaccine, and it's really not being reported or addressed, and it is a serious issue that we should all be informed about before making this decision. It isn't right for people to be forced to take the vaccine because there are actual side effects like this that could happen to you. And the NCAA should not mandate student athletes to get the vaccine because of what could happen to so many fellow student athletes' health issues, which has happened to me. Everyone should be informed of the side effects, and no one should be forced to take something that could cause what has happened to me, and no one knows the long-term effects of what's possibly going to happen from this. And it's kind of uncharted territories because everyone else with the same heart issues from the vaccine as me, we're all being tracked and monitored. We're basically like test subjects from the vaccine. So it's a very serious issue that really needs to be spread. And I've spoken with some other student athletes that have also had to have either heart surgery or have had heart issues from this, and it's very scary stuff, and a lot of people in our age group apparently are at higher risk for heart issues from the vaccine, and it really does need to be talked about.
Did you hear what that young man had to say? 21 years old, he's in the prime of his life, living his dream as a college athlete, and now that's all gone. That's all gone because he was forced to get a vaccine that really is not a vaccine. And it's an experimental drug that's been shoved down the arms of American citizens all over the place. Something very wrong is going on here. But what really concerns me is something this young man said is that after he started sharing his story, he started hearing from other college athletes who are going through other heart-related issues, including having to have heart surgery. Why is this not a national news story? I'll tell you why. It's because it does not fit the mainstream media's narrative. As a matter of fact, there is a study out that says children, especially young boys under the age of 18 who get the vaccine, are more prone to suffer some sort of heart condition. A doctor shared this information on social media. Last night, a painful reminder that COVID is not done with us. A 23-year-old, previously healthy, suffered cardiac arrest, had the COVID vaccine 6 days before. So the question now, ladies and gentlemen, is what are we going to do with all of this information? We now know that there are people out there suffering severe side effects. They're wanting your child. As a matter of fact, Joe Biden just last week announced that your child is going to be tested in public school for the China virus vaccine. Do you think it's that much of a stretch to imagine that after they test, that you do get the vaccine? Is that not possible? And what happens when your child comes down with a serious heart condition? But I say good for you, moms and dads who are taking a stand. Good for you, nurses and doctors who are taking a stand. And you're either being fired or you're... And by the way, do not resign. Make them fire you. That way you can get your unemployment and you have grounds to sue your employer. You've got to do that. You cannot just walk off the job. All you federal workers out there, you've got to do the same thing. I've gotten about 7 or 8 messages from many of you who have children in the armed forces. And I want you to hear me. This is despicable. Military personnel, these brave young men and women, we're talking about 18, 19, 20-year-old young men, young women. They're being told that if they do not get the vaccine, if they refuse to get the vaccine, they could face a court-martial. And we have the written evidence of this. They've actually sent us the correspondence that the military sent their kids. They're threatening these young men and women, folks, with court-martial and dishonorable discharge from the military. This is unacceptable. We cannot allow this to stand. Look, we've got a lot to get through today. President Trump, ground zero. Joe Biden, mumbling all over the place. Bizarre stuff that Joe Biden was doing over the weekend. We're going to get to that. Plus your calls, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. Our website up and running over at toddstarns.com. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
I'm sure I'm not the only one who's noticed it, but the state of our great nation has changed, and with it, so has the world's rock-solid confidence in the U.S. dollar. Thanks to our government's out-of-control spending, many believe we will see dark days ahead for the dollar. And that's why now, more than ever, I recommend you diversify with gold and silver. And the only company I recommend is American Hartford Gold. They sell physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA, and they make it so easy. They are the highest-rated firm in the country with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. And if you call them right now, they're going to give you up to $1,500 of free silver on your first order. So don't wait. Call them right now, folks. Call 855-913-1133. That's 855-913-1133. Or text Todd to 65532. That's 855-913-1133. Or text Todd to 65532.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. By the way, all of our new listeners out there, welcome. And we want to remind you to head over to ToddStarnes.com at your convenience, at your leisure, and subscribe to the Todd Starnes newsletter and podcast. Folks, great resources for you, will not cost you a penny, and it just keeps you in the know because we cover a lot of the stories that you're not going to see in the mainstream media, including this Tennessee State University collegiate golfer, Division I, now diagnosed with myocarditis after getting the second dose of the vaccine. We're also paying very close attention to what's happening to folks in the military now being threatened with court-martial and dishonorable discharge if they do not get the jab. I know a lot of you folks have reached out to us privately on our Facebook page, but I do want to go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Mike is hanging out with us on WLOB from Maine. Hi, Mike. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Listen, these guys could be charged under Article 90 UCMJ, and not only will they be dishonorably discharged, basically what it is it's refusal to take a direct order from the superior officer. And they not only will end up with a dishonorable discharge, but forfeiture of all pay and allowances, and they could get up to confinement up to 5 years. This is crazy. And it's not just the young guys. It's the guys that have been in 15, 18, 17. They're going to give up their whole pensions if they refuse to take this.
And Mike, I feel for these kids because many of them don't want the virus. They don't want this vaccine. And they understand what's happening to people their age who are getting this vaccine because, by and large, the severe side effects are happening to their age demographic.
Yeah, and it's when you hear that statement that those kids are saying, that these athletes from college, I mean, these are the same age as these kids in enlisting the Corps or enlisting any other branch. And it's going to be terrible. And I'll tell you what, if they're not careful, this is going to be a purge in the military. The good guys are going to haul ass, and you ain't going to have much left.
You know, Mike, I was wondering about that. I mean, how many, it's not so much how many people are going to leave, it's how many people are not going to volunteer to sign up. And, I mean, we could be in a dire situation. I think war is coming. I think Biden is going to stumble and bumble our way into another war. And I'm wondering how many young Americans would be willing to sign up to join a social justice force where they've got to get a vaccine.
Yeah, well, you know, Todd, if you noticed the other day, they also purged the military academy boards. Now, what the military academy boards do is one of their big things that they do is what curriculum is taught at the academies. So they purged the board the other day of most members. So what they're looking to do is enter critical race theory and turn it into a woke military.
Oh, Mike, that's exactly where we're going. And we've been there for a long time. I remember breaking this story years ago when Obama first came into power, and they turned the Pentagon into a social engineering petri dish, and they're literally, and we got a copy of the training manual, they're literally training officers to believe that white people are responsible for all the problems in the world. This was back in 2007, 2008, so this has been going on for well over a decade now, and it is a mess inside the Pentagon.
Yeah, they've also changed the rules of engagement. So that was one of Obama's biggest mistakes. You know, these guys were fighting over there, Todd. Literally had to call back from where they were fighting at to the forward operating base. And sometimes they literally had to call back to D.C. to get permission to fire at the enemy.
And Mike, you might not
win a damn war that way.
No, you can't win a war. And look, I mean, and I'll get into, we're going to talk about George W. Bush and his offensive comments that he made over the weekend in just a little while. But what I will say, this is incredibly sad that the Obama administration wanted to actually give medals for soldiers if they did not shoot the enemy.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, all right.
Yeah.
Mike, got to run. Good call. Thank you for listening. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, this study I was talking about, medical data suggests that boys aged 12 to 15 with no underlying medical conditions are 4 to 6 times more likely to get myocarditis than ending up in the hospital with COVID. Most children who experienced the rare side effect had symptoms within days, and about 86%, get this, folks, 86% of the boys affected required some hospital care. That's what's going on here, and we've got to get that story out. We've got to get that news out. Now, we're following some other stories, and we're going to get to this after the bottom of the hour break. There were a lot of schools around the country that were hosting these 9/11 memorials, but a lot of schools were cracking down on the memorials. They said those memorials would be offensive and might hurt the feelings of Muslim students. Now, this ties into something that happened in the big speeches over the weekend, because aside from the Young Americas Foundation, I don't think anybody actually referred to what happened on 9/11 accurately. That was a day that Islamic radicals waged jihad on American soil in the name of their religion. That's the cold, hard truth. But not even George W. Bush could come out and utter the word radical Muslims. He would not do that. He actually compared American domestic terrorists to what happened on 9/11. It is beyond me, but I warned you years ago this was going to happen, that there was going to be an effort to rewrite the narrative of what happened on September 11th, 2001. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. My friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. First night you sleep on the Giza sheet, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets. You receive a set for as low as $49.99. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS. All right, real quick, I want to go to the phones here. Keith is calling in from North Carolina, the talk station. And Keith, I understand you've got some intel here. You're saying that Marines are pretty upset about this vaccine. What's going on?
Well, I spent the weekend with a bunch of Marines that served together in Afghanistan and Iraq. They brought a whole busload in to a place that's established by another Marine that's called the Outpost. And they're happy that they're not having to make the choice, but they're really disappointed that people have to make the choice, because they were talking about some of their buddies that were just blown up beside them. And it's just, I don't really know how to explain it, Todd. It's, you know, I was given every shot known to man when I was in the Marine Corps. But the fact that they're going to make us now take a shot that we have no idea what it is, and it just flabbergasted.
Keith, there are two other components of this. First of all, you're right. Most of them are still experimental vaccines, and even the one they've approved, I still consider that to be experimental. But beyond that, by and large, most people their age are not getting the virus, and if they do, they're quick to get over it. And number three, those people who get the vaccine, their age, in that age group, Keith, are coming down with serious side effects. I mean, you heard the story we just shared with you about the young athlete.
Yes. Well, you had side effects.
But Keith, I'm not a young guy. I got to break it. Hate to break it to you, but I'm an old fuddy duddy. But
well, I got out of the Marine Corps before a lot of these people were even born. That I was visiting with yesterday. So yeah, I'm not a young guy.
So
either.
Keith, what are these Marines telling you? What are they going to do?
Well, my son-in-law took the shot. He's out here at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, but he's so far invested in the Marine Corps, he can't get out. He's got to stick it out for a few more years. But like the Sergeant Major last night, he said, "Dad, well, I won't use the words he used, but there's no way he'd take the shot." You know, and he was in for 31 years. I mean, and these people just, it's one thing when you know a man's got a gun and he's shooting a bullet at you and you know what the result is going to be, but this vaccine that they've got, you don't know what's going to happen.
It's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot, Keith.
That's pretty much what they said last night. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go, Todd.
Keith?
You have a great day. Enjoy your day. I'm going to open my front door and go to the beach, and I think I might fish.
Well, good. Well, I like how you operate. All right, Keith, get out there. Have a great day. Bring your radio with you so you can listen to us while you're fishing. Let's go to Dave in Georgia, WDUN. All right, Dave, what's on your mind today? All right, you know what, Dave? Let's put Dave on hold and tell Dave to turn down his radio because he's not going to be able to converse with us if he doesn't do that. I want to play some audio for you. This is President Biden yesterday on Saturday in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. He was outside the fire hall and he was asked about 9/11, and he starts talking about Robert E. Lee. And well, let's just play the audio.
This idea that, you know, well, you know, what do you want to do with Biden? I want to box him. I should be so lucky. You know what I mean? But this, the kinds of things, or, you know, stuff that is coming out of Florida, stuff that's coming out of, you know, Robert E. Lee had been in Afghanistan. You're the one.
What?
Anyway.
Robert E. Lee isn't in Afghanistan. You the one. What is he talking about? By the way, this is, and just to give you an understanding of what we're dealing with here, this is why the Biden White House did not allow him to speak, make public remarks at any of the 9/11 memorials. It was all pre-taped, all pre-recorded. And by the way, made no reference to the Islamic radicals, but instead went after Americans for not being more tolerant and diverse. That was Biden's 9/11 message. Honestly, I think whoever wrote Biden's actually wrote George W. Bush's. Meanwhile, here's what President Trump had to say, cut number four.
For the great people of our country, this is a very sad day. September 11th represents great sorrow for our country. Many things were displayed that day, including, most importantly, the bravery of our police, fire, and first responders of every kind. The job they did was truly unbelievable. We love them and we thank them. It is also a sad time for the way our war on those that did such harm to our country ended last week. The loss of 13 great warriors and the many more who were wounded should never have happened. Overall, 250 people were killed in Afghanistan last week, and so many more were seriously injured. We had $85 billion of the finest and most sophisticated military equipment taken from us without even a shot being fired. The leader of our country was made to look like a fool, and that can never be allowed to happen. It was caused by bad planning, incredible weakness, and leaders who truly didn't understand what was happening. This is the 20th year of this war, and should have been a year of victory and honor and strength. Instead, Joe Biden and his inept administration surrendered in defeat. We will live on, but sadly, our country will be wounded for a long period of time. We will struggle to recover from the embarrassment this incompetence has caused. Do not fear, however, America will be made great again.
Now, that's a president. Then you got Joe Biden out there talking about Robert E. Lee running around Afghanistan. Ladies and gentlemen, I've said this once and I will say it again. Joe Biden, the cheese has done slid off that man's cracker. Something is not right. I'm just telling you, something is not right. Oh, by the way, George W. Bush, by the way. And so here's what they're trying to do. Let me explain this for you before we play the audio, because there's a method to the madness here. The Never Trump crowd and the Democrats are hell-bent on making January the 6th the new 9/11. As a matter of fact, there were a lot of pundits who actually said what happened on January the 6th is worse than what happened on 9/11. So hang tight. We're going to get to that in a moment. That was a pause for dramatic effect. So let me explain what's going on here. George W. Bush is a neoconservative, all right? George W. Bush cannot stand Donald Trump. And we know this because he's all but said it. But it's fascinating because you've got You've got all sorts of chaos going on out there in politics. And George W. Bush, he hangs out with people like Bill Clinton and Michelle Obama, but he despises people like Donald Trump. Donald Trump pretty much just tells it like it is. Now, you're going to hear George W. Bush talking about domestic extremism. And we're going to play this audio for you, and then I'm going to have something to say about it. Let's go.
The security measures incorporated into our lives are both sources of comfort and reminders of our vulnerability. And we have seen growing evidence that the dangers to our country can come not only across borders, but from violence that gathers within. There is little cultural overlap between violent extremists abroad and violent extremists at home. But in their disdain for pluralism, in their disregard for human life, in their determination to defile national symbols, they are children of the same foul spirit, and it is our continuing duty to confront them.
Okay. So let me explain what just happened here. President Bush just compared what happened on January the 6th to what happened on 9/11. And there's absolutely no comparison, none whatsoever, none. But this is what we're dealing with. Now, President Bush wants to talk about violent extremists. All right, let's talk about violent extremists for just a moment. Do you know what the final act of the war in Afghanistan was? The United States of America drone bombed. We targeted an innocent Afghan family. The father was filling up jugs with water, and we took out the entire family, killing an entire family of innocent people. That's what we did, ladies and gentlemen, the United States of America. You want to talk about extremism? Let's talk about extremism, George W. Bush. Let's talk about the fact that you got us into two wars in the aftermath of 9/11. Now, you just sit back here and think about this, and all you young people that are being homeschooled, this is a lesson for you in world history. It turns out that by and large, I would say 95% of the Muslim terrorists who flew jetliners into the buildings on 9/11 were not from Afghanistan. They were not from Iraq. They were from Saudi Arabia. The other, I believe, was from the United Arab Emirates, and I believe there was one who was a native of Egypt. But by and large, they all came from the same place. They came from Saudi Arabia. So who did we go to war with? We went to war with Afghanistan. And then as we were trying to wrap up the war in Afghanistan, what did we do? George W. Bush pulled the troops out and declared war on Iraq. And if you are to believe the reporting and the books that were written, he did so against the advice of his advisors. And that launched a 20-year war. This is the reality of George W. Bush. So if, in fact, we wanted to go after the people that were ultimately responsible, why did we not go after Saudi Arabia? And that is a conversation we could have for hours on this radio program. But George W. Bush wants to talk about extremism. He was going to war with anything that moved. And don't get me wrong here. His leadership in the days after 9/11 should be commended. I thought it was brilliant. He was presidential. But getting us into these wars, and again, when you're declaring an axis of evil, I mean, how many people are we going to go to war with? And trust me, it's not over, folks. It is not over. There will be a terrorist attack on American soil. Have no doubt about that. Perpetuated by Islamic radicals. They want to destroy Western civilization. This is what these people want to do. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Listen up, Patriots. One of the most radical plans to reshape the future of America is happening right now, and we need to stop it. President Biden's plan to pack the U.S. Supreme Court. Back in April, the president launched a special judicial commission to reform the court. But the real plan is to install four more liberal justices to gain an automatic majority and ensure favorable rulings for his radical policies. And once the court is packed, it will end the rule of law as we know it, which is exactly what happened in Venezuela and Argentina. Let's be clear, America is not a banana republic. Thankfully, First Liberty Institute is taking a stand. They've issued a letter to the commission asking them to reject this radical court-packing scheme, and they're not alone. Franklin Graham, Ed Meese, James Dobson, Tony Perkins, plus 60,000 others have joined their coalition. But we need 1 million, so add your name now. Go to SupremeCoup.com to sign First Liberty's letter. That's SupremeCoup.com. God bless America.
Fantastic job by a really great young man. Wow. He's got a big future, and we're just honored. We're just honored. Thank you.
We want Trump. We want Trump. That's what everybody's saying in the audience. I don't think I hear that back home. Everybody's screaming right now.
Wow. Just incredible. Over the weekend, that was the crowd of the big Holyfield fight, and President Trump was just received like a hero. The crowd chanting, we want Trump, we want Trump. Meanwhile, over the weekend at college football stadiums around America, the crowds were chanting something very different about President Biden, things we can't, you know, Grace, I thought for a moment about sharing some of the audio on the air, but we can't do it.
Nope, it would just be one big long
yes,
beep, beep,
blank,
beep.
Yes, blank you, Biden.
Yikes.
Blank you, Biden.
Blank you, Biden.
That's pretty much it. Yeah,
yep.
That's
it wouldn't be much audio to listen
no,
to.
No, not at all. But it, folks, I think people are frustrated. They are angry. They see this president as a man who is derelict in his duties, left Americans behind in Afghanistan. By the way, got a note from Oliver North, and we've got a story up on our website about this. Ollie says there are hundreds of Americans still stranded in Afghanistan and cannot get out. And that is a story that will not go away. There's some people out there who actually think that Biden issued the China virus mandates as a way to divert attention away from Afghanistan. Oh, by the way, this Shanksville PA stop the president made, he goes over to the fire hall and all the children wanted to get a picture of Biden or with Biden. So there's this great photo, and we have this on the website. You've got to see it. It's brilliant what these kids did. So the children are all gathered around Biden. And to my knowledge, Biden did not fondle any of the children and did not try to sniff any of their, you know, their hair. So good for you. Good for you, Mr. President. But anyway, he failed to notice that most of the kids were wearing MAGA hats, Trump hats, and one of the kids had a T-shirt that had Trump dressed up like the like Arnold Schwarzenegger with the sunglasses saying, I'll be back. You got to love it. I just think people are just, they're done. They are done. As a matter of fact, I think even Kamala Harris is done. You don't even see her anymore. I don't know if they've got her locked up or what. She doesn't want to have anything to do with this. So it's a great big mess. That's what it is, folks, a great big mess. All right, look, got to take a break here. We're going to be checking in with our friends at Young America's Foundation. Scott Walker is going to be here. A lot of vandalism over the weekends involving American flags. We're going to tell you about that as well. Hey, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back, America.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us for today's extravaganza. Broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain. By the way, I want to welcome all of our great new listeners in Dayton, Ohio, and also Baltimore, Maryland, WCBM. Good people out in that part of the country. Always an honor to be able to give our brand new affiliates a shout out. And we are growing by leaps and bounds. So our toll-free telephone number, by the way, 844-747-8868. Write that down. That's 844-747-8868. Now, one of the organizations that I am proud to support, not just by providing them time on and a platform on this radio program, but also financially. I am a supporter of Young America's Foundation. I believe in their cause. It is a righteous and noble cause, rising up that next generation of American patriots. But one of the other things I really appreciate about YAF is their commitment to the truth. And they're not a part of this cancel culture movement. And I have to give them credit because they have been, for years now, they have been sponsoring a program called 9/11, the Never Forget Project. And they are responsible for many of the flag displays you have seen on university campuses, high school campuses around the country. And they rightly call what happened on 9/11 a terrorist attack by radical Islamic terrorists. And that is getting lost in today's narrative. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're very honored to have with us the boss, the head honcho over at Young America's Foundation, our good friend, the former great governor himself, Scott Walker. Governor, good to have you back with us.
Hey, Todd, great to be with you. Thanks for having us on, and thanks for highlighting this important issue.
Well, one of the things that we noticed, Scott, over the weekend, a number of these displays were vandalized, but I think the most egregious happened at Washington University in St. Louis. What happened?
Well, yeah, I call it the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is that over 200 campuses across the country, students in college and high school put up 2,977 American flags on each of these campuses as a tribute and a reminder to the 2,977 innocent lives that were lost by radical Islamic terrorists because they hated our freedoms. They targeted targets of our economic and political freedom. That's the good. We've been doing that since 2003 at YAF, and we've helped put up over 12 million flags since then.
Wow.
The bad was already happening before that, and that was that not at all, but at a few of these campuses and schools, administrators and others were telling them they couldn't put them up or reneging on the opportunity to do that. That was the bad. But the ugly is exactly what you alluded to, and that is on a handful of these campuses. Now, we actually had people vandalized from spray painting to taking down flags. But the absolute worst was this one individual who I put in parentheses is a student senator. I don't think he earns the title here, but that's technically what he is. A student senator, a woke leftist radical, went out, even after having been warned initially coming at Washington University, having been warned by the campus police to stay away from vandalizing the display. One of the students there actually got him on video early that morning, tearing out all of the flags, stuffing them into garbage bags, and throwing them away because he felt somebody needed to counter American imperialism. This is exactly what our students are dealing with every single day. This is what's wrong with campuses in America. The student who videotaped him and the students who put those flags up there and elsewhere are what's right. We need more of them and less of the other.
No, you're right. And, of course, this young man actually defended what he did, posting a lengthy message. And we have that up on our website, folks, along with the video that Governor Walker was referring to. This young man identifies as a Muslim American, and he feels like that he is actually the victim here, Governor.
Well, well, which is amazing to show you just how crazy these snowflakes are. This guy rips up the display again. He was forewarned. I've said more than just drawing attention. I actually think he needs to be arrested and prosecuted. Missouri law, I looked it up, look, is very clear here, and that is he intentionally did this. We know intent because the police told him not to, and he came back and did it again. It's on video. There's no dispute about it. And the law in Missouri says if you create damage of more than $750, which this is, anybody who's bought a handheld flag knows, you know, the cheapest you're getting is probably 70 cents. There are 2,977 of them that he destroyed that property, destroyed that display, threw it away. He's guilty of a lower level, but it's a felony and needs to face some consequences for this. If he wanted to do a counter protest, which we think is crazy, considering anyone in America, I don't care whether you're liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican, remembering those lives lost 20 years ago should be a given. It should be a uniting thing that we can all do as Americans. But this just shows you how radical our campuses and many in our society have gotten. It's somehow just acknowledging these lives lost is triggering. We, of course, I personally point out the next step that you alluded to, that this was done by 19 radical Islamic terrorists and the people that supported them. And they did it. They did it precisely because they were threatened by our freedoms, freedoms that we not only give overall for society, but particularly in America, freedoms for women, freedom for people of different backgrounds, all the sorts of things that those radical Islamic terrorists around the world today still are threatened by. All the more reason why we need to teach this, particularly to those kids, many of whom are in college, and every single kid, high school and younger, who wasn't even born on 9/11, we can never forget them, and we can never forget to tell them what happened, who did it, and why they did it to us.
Yeah, I'm with you. And back to this kid at Washington University, not only vandalism charges, theft charges, destruction of property charges, and he better be counting his blessings that he committed this crime in America, the land of the free, because over in some of those countries governed by Sharia law, Governor, this guy would have had his hands chopped off.
Well, look at the images, right, of these individuals that were beaten by the Taliban just as journalists, just for exposing what they were doing to women in that country out in the streets. You can see the bruises and the beating that they got. That's just for a journalist. Imagine those who actually commit theft and vandalism and the things he did. It's amazing to me that people who think we're so awful ignore all the rest of the world where it is so much worse, and where we actually have freedoms and we have a just society to live in and to build on.
And real quick, Governor, on that, last week, the student government president at the University of Kansas, the entire Kansas State Senate there at the university, they shared a message on social media saying, death to America. I mean, this is the greatest country on the face of the earth. Can you imagine the horror if that actually came true and America was destroyed?
Well, think about I tell our kids at our conferences, you've spoken many times, and we appreciate that. I tell them all the time, go find people on your campuses, in your communities, for folks listening, not only on a college campus, at a school, at a neighborhood, find people who come here from somewhere else, particularly from an old communist or a socialist country or from one of these oppressive regimes around the world. They love America. They kiss the ground every single day because they love this country, because they know what's at stake. There's a reason why people were clinging to those C-17s trying to get out of Kabul. There's a reason why when I was young, I remember the rafts coming across shark-infested waters with people trying to get to the southern edge of Florida to get away from Cuba. There's a reason why people flee Hong Kong and Venezuela and the old Soviet Republic.
It's true.
Because they understand what so many woke kids and neighbors don't get, and that is the promise of America is unique with the freedom and opportunity, and we should thank God every single day for that.
Well said. And, Governor, we're going to have to end it there. Folks, YAF.org, if you would love to help the great mission there and join as a financial supporter, as I do, the Stearns family does. Governor, always good to have you on, and good luck to you guys at YAF.
God bless, and keep fighting for freedom.
All right, Governor Scott Walker from Young America's Foundation, ladies and gentlemen, and they are doing some great work. We have the photos and the video of the American flags being desecrated by the Muslim American student there at Washington University. I would encourage you to check that out. Folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
We're trying a new restaurant for lunch here at the Todd Starnes radio program. You know, our radio studios are conveniently located between two major barbecue joints, but they just opened up a place called Abner's, which serves chicken. That's what they're known for. And it's good chicken, by the way. So if you're ever in Memphis, Tennessee, drop by the studios to say howdy do, and then you can grab lunch over at Abner's. And they did not pay me to say that, but it's very good chicken. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Honored to have you with us today. This story just dropping a few moments ago, and it is an exclusive on the Todd Starnes radio program. There is a church in Pleasant Hill, Missouri, Manna Fellowship Church, and they were wanting to do a Veterans Day service that would be coming up in November at the church. They've been doing this every year. It's a tradition at the church. And so they reached out to Whiteman Air Force Base and asked if the Honor Guard could come and be a part of the Veterans Day commemoration. And the Air Force said, no. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. A good friend of this program, Mike Whitehead, joins us along with First Liberty Institute. They are representing the church in this matter. Mike, good to have you with us.
Hey, Todd. Good to hear from you, brother.
So what's going on here? They want to honor our veterans, and the Air Force Base has a problem with that.
Exactly. This church has a pastor, Rick Friesen, who has a son in the military, I think in the Air Force, and many of the church members in the Southern Baptist Church started about 5 years ago, love veterans and love to honor the veterans, and they want to show their support and endorsement for the veterans on Veterans Day in November, and they've done that in the past by contacting Whiteman Air Force Base. Kansas City loves Whiteman. It's just 50 miles to our east. They're the home of the B-2 bomber, and the stealth bombers fly over the Kansas City Chiefs Stadium every now and then on opening day, as they did yesterday at the Cleveland Browns game. And nobody thought the stealth B-2 was endorsing Kansas City Chiefs, although we won that game. But the fans at Chiefs Stadium wanted to honor and salute and endorse the military as they applauded the flyover. In the same way, this church brings in an honor guard, and they've in the past had the honor guard from Whiteman Air Force Base come to do the presentation of the colors, the flag, at the beginning of the service, and then they come and retire the colors at the end of the service. And there's no desire at all that the military endorse the church, but it's the church that wants to endorse and celebrate the veterans of the United States Military Forces on this special Sunday before Veterans Day. And so they asked again this year, as they have in years past, for the Honor Guard, but they were surprised to receive an email from a second lieutenant at Whiteman who said that the Air Force's and Department of Defense regulations prohibited Air Force Honor Guard from endorsing any non-federal event, and that would include a church worship service. And so the church has sent a letter today with my signature and the signature of Mike Berry, a Christian lawyer friend of mine that works with First Liberty, with Kelly Shackelford. And we both have written Colonel Christopher Schlack, the commander at the 509 Mission Support Group at Whiteman, and an appeal to his authority to please review and reconsider this decision by the second lieutenant and perhaps the JAG office there.
Now, let me jump in here, Mike, because, you know, I was reading the letter that you guys sent here, And it is very clear to me that just having the honor guard there does not equal an endorsement of the religious beliefs of the Southern Baptist Convention. But yet the military seems to think that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly right. As though if they are in a church at all, that they are somehow endorsing everything that goes on in the church. And yet the same honor guard is subject to an Air Force honor guard manual. And that manual says in explicitly that the honor guards may perform at a variety of non-federal events, including sporting events like the chief's event, civic events, patriotic events, funerals, and ceremonies inside a church. There's a specific provision in the manual that says if you normally would carry weapons, you will not carry weapons on color teams taking place inside a church or place of worship. So obviously the regulations and the manuals pursuant to it permit this kind of event, and it happens all over the country in all sorts of churches. It's just an odd, we hope, a mistake and misunderstanding that Commander Slack can rectify by responding to our request letter that he permits this honor
exactly.
guard to appear at the
now,
church.
Mike, we've only got about a minute here, 60 seconds. What is the legal analysis? Bottom line, is it legal? Is it permissible for honor guards to do events inside a church house?
Absolutely. There's simply no legal prohibition against an Air Force honor guard's presence or support for a Veterans Day commemoration, regardless of the location of the ceremony, in a church or outside. And as I say, there's no appearance or perception that the church is asking the military to endorse the church. It's that for our church members to have an opportunity to endorse the United States military and the veterans who've given it all, especially in the recent deaths in Afghanistan. We want to honor those folks and not ask them to honor the church or its gospel. We just want to pay tribute to America's veterans on Veterans Day.
Well said. All right, Mike, we're going to leave it there. Folks, we've got the story up on our website, toddstearns.com. Mike Whitehead on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, along with First Liberty Institute, and they are standing alongside this great church there in Missouri. All right, Mike, keep us updated on how all of this turns out.
Will do, Todd. Thanks for covering this.
All right, glad to do it. Absolutely. Again, Mike Whitehead, ladies and gentlemen, a good attorney there representing the Southern Baptist Church, Manna Fellowship Church, there in Pleasant Hill, Missouri. Let's go over what we've just learned over the past couple of weeks about the Biden Pentagon. They have banned a Bible on a missing man POW table. They have also ordered a cross removed from a memorial for fallen soldiers at Fort Dix in New Jersey. And now this story out of Missouri, where the Air Force says they cannot allow a church to invite an honor guard because it violates their procedures. I mean, are you starting to understand what's going on? By the way, just want to say thank you to some incredible people in Arkansas, Cleburne County, Arkansas. Over the weekend, I was the keynote speaker at a Republican women's gathering. They had about 300, 400 people there. Packed house, and it was an incredibly patriotic evening. I was moved because where I was speaking, to my side was in fact a missing man POW table, and it was set up with a Bible in its rightful place on that table as a reminder of the sacrifice that has been made for freedom's cause. So thank you to the great ladies there in Cleburne County. Man, did they feed us well. What a great time there. Great patriots, and they are ready to make America great again. Again. Got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Our website again, toddstearns.com. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. By the way, You've asked about that video about the college athlete. We got a couple of messages about that. That video now up on the website, toddstearns.com. Division I college athlete, perfectly healthy after getting the second dose of the vaccine 4 days later in the hospital with a serious heart condition. And now this young man being told he may not be able to play golf. That's it. His college golfing career over as a result of the China virus vaccine. Meanwhile, a lot of people around this country are getting very upset about these mandatory vaccine policies that are coming out. An individual by the name of Rachel Ham, sharing some information on social media, the Great American Walkout, calling for all Americans who are willing to stand against forced vaccinations to walk out of their jobs and their schools in protest. This has been going on since Saturday and will continue until tomorrow. Rachel Ham on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Rachel, good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Todd. I'm so glad to be here.
All right. So first of all, I'm curious, how did you get involved in all this? Have you been an activist in the past, or is this something new for you?
This is something very new for me. I have not been an activist. I mean, I've always paid a lot of attention to what was happening politically, always voted, always been very, you know, concerned and aware and informed, but I've never done anything like this. But I think we've also never been in times like these. So there's a lot of new things going on in the world right now.
So Rachel, you put together this plan. What are you wanting people to do here?
Yeah, so basically, I am very concerned about the fact that people are being faced with the decision. You can either get the shot or you can lose your job. And for me, that was a red line. And I was hearing from person after person, I was just getting flooded with emails from people saying, help, I'm in this situation. I've been in this career for 25 years, and I'm being told if I don't get the shot, I'm going to lose my job. And I've looked into the shot, and I really don't think I should get it. And so I started feeling like I needed to step up and help some of these people that were writing and asking for help. I'm running for Secretary of State in the state of California, so I think they just assumed that, you know, maybe I could help them somehow. And even though it has nothing to do with Secretary of State, they just saw me as someone who could potentially help. So I began looking into the issue. And as I was looking into the issue and what our legal rights were and that kind of thing, my husband was told by Governor Newsom in California, all educators must be vaccinated by October 15th if they want to keep working. Even all volunteers and lower level staff must be vaccinated to come onto campus. And so suddenly it shifted from trying to help some strangers to it being a very personal and very real issue for our family.
And it's impacting people all over America. And we're getting a lot of messages from military families who are concerned, you know, their loved ones might end up being dishonorably discharged. They might be court-martialed. Now you've got, you know, these college athletes, and they're in a different world themselves, Rachel, because the NCAA says you've got to be vaccinated. And now a lot of these players are coming down with serious side effects.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And yet they tell us that we need to follow the science, right? But then we're the ones that are actually following the science. We're looking at the data that is even some of their own data on the CDC website. We're contemplating the risk versus the reward of these types of shots. There's a lot that goes into this kind of decision, but they're ignoring a lot of the factors. They're throwing it all out the window, and they're just saying this big blanket statement of all these people must get this shot. And I think we really need to ask why. Why are they doing that? Why are young, healthy college athletes being told that they must get a vaccination that they do not need or want?
What I find fascinating, Rachel, and of course you're there in California, so you can see this firsthand. You guys have a massive homeless problem. It's just unbelievable in major cities, and yet there has not been a massive COVID outbreak within those homeless communities where they are not following the guidelines. They're not getting the vaccines. They're not masking up, and they're not socially distancing themselves. So maybe we ought to be looking at the homeless population to figure out, well, wait a second, they're not dealing with this as an issue. What's going on here?
It's a great question. Yeah, exactly. And we also should, you know, look into why, as illegal aliens are flooding across our Southern California border, they are not being required to get the vaccination. And the requirements that are being imposed on us are much stricter and harsher than them.
Fair enough. Real quick, I'm curious to know what the response has been. Are people joining the cause?
Yes, they are. I am hearing from a lot of firemen, police officers, nurses. I mean, I think it's probably the largest percentage of people I'm hearing from are nurses who are participating in the walkout. And then also educators. Those are kind of the main four categories of people who I'm hearing from. And the military, I am not hearing the military is participating in the walkout. I think that's kind of a tricky situation for them. But I am hearing from them saying, help, I'm being told I have to get the shot and I'm really scared. I don't think I should get it. What do I do? And when they are applying for exemptions, they are really being put through the wringer. It's been a nightmare for them.
All right.
It's a very interesting situation.
No, it is. And also, of course, the other big story, Rachel, the big election, the recall election. What are you hearing, boots on the ground?
I am hearing of one concerning incident after another. And there's a whole fleet of Republican voters who went to vote and were told that they already had voted. And so I've been asking the question, when that happens and they're given a provisional ballot, which ballot is counted? And I'm being told the mail-in ballot that was already received, that the voter is saying they did not cast, is the one who is going, that's the one that's going to be counted. And there's a lot of troubling things. There's poll watchers that are saying they're not letting us watch, they're hiding information from us, something's not right. I've heard from multiple poll watchers. And also just from concerned citizens who are trying to vote, and only Republicans have been told they've already voted. I've heard from Democrats who have said they've received multiple ballots. No Republicans have received multiple ballots.
Rachel, it's sounding like we're looking at a rigged election.
100%.
Wow!
I called an attorney today to say we need to sue the state of California. How do we proceed?
And it needs to happen. Look, we cannot allow this to happen again. And my concern is nationwide. People look and see what's happening in California, and those Democrats get away with it. I don't think the Republicans are going to be able to muster the numbers they need for 2022.
Yeah, well, and also, you know, it's disheartening to even try. When an election is going to be stolen, why even run, right? I mean, I'm in that situation. I'm running for Secretary of State, but I think, well, if it's fixed, why run? So we've got to push the audit issue. We've got to audit the vote.
All right. Well, and look, we've got a lot of eyes on this, and we're going into it knowing what the Democrats are going to do. And we've got to make sure the Republican Party there in California does the right thing and hopefully has some fire in their belly over this.
Well, I can tell you that I do.
Good, good. All right, Rachel, well, look, good for you. Good luck on your campaign. And, folks, participate in the Great American Walkout. Rachel, thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me, Todd.
All right, Rachel Hamm, ladies and gentlemen, from the great state of California. And we're going to be checking in on the California race in the next hour. This statement just being released by President Trump. Does anybody really believe the California recall election is not rigged? Millions and millions of mail-in ballots will make this just another giant election scam, no different but less blatant than the 2020 presidential election scam. Now, look, this election issue is going to come back and bite the Republicans in the buttocks because they did not want to address this after the 2020 election. They didn't want to do it because it was an unpleasant conversation to have with the mainstream media. So what did the Republican Party do? They decided to move on and put that election behind them. Now, this Rachel Hamm raises a very interesting question here. What happens if everybody goes to vote, but sure enough, you've got all these cases of voter fraud and Gavin Newsom survives the day? Do we just throw our hands up in the air and then hope for the best in 2022? We all know what's going on here. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? All right, we got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We are going to the phones. Also, Now is a very good time to check out toddstarnes.com. We have some great resources for you. The listeners of the program, our awesome newsletter comes out just about 20 minutes after the show concludes today, so you're going to want to get a copy of that. And I got to tell you, now more than ever, it is so vitally important to support companies and organizations that share our values, and that's why I support Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. Folks, they not only share our beliefs, they do something about it by donating a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes we care about. So I want to encourage you to switch to Patriot Mobile right now. Use the promo code Todd. You're going to get free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage and uses the same towers as the other carriers do, and they've got all sorts of plans to fit your budget. By the way, veterans, first responders, guess what? They're going to give you even more discounts. All you need to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. And you're going to get free premier activation, but you got to use my name as the promo code, or you can call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's get to the phones. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Doug hanging on over at the Talk Station in North Carolina. Hey, Doug, what's on your mind today?
Not a whole, the military thing. Picking up on what Mike said a little while ago when I was actually driving in my car in reference to the military and the shots and the UCMJ issue, what I find interesting as a retired veteran is that our current active duty personnel can be threatened with court-martial over not wanting to get a shot that a lot of people are rightfully afraid of, but yet during the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis, the Joint Chief, and this can be researched. It was disclosed about 15 years ago. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Joint Chiefs of Staff went before the then sitting president, President Kennedy, and gave him the operative suggestion that the United States military use an unmarked nuclear device, a nuclear missile, to hit Miami, Florida with, then turn around and blame it on the combination of the Cubans and the Russians to therefore give them the war that the war hawks all the way even back then was itching to have. Once again, this can be researched. It was on page 200 of a 100-page nationally syndicated paper about, I want to say, 15 years ago or so.
And Doug, why are we talking about this right now?
Because
no, Doug, why? Hold on a second. Hold on a second, Doug. You come on the program. We're talking about an issue. Grace Baker asked what you're going to talk about, and you come on this program, and now we're talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Well, I'm making a reference to how, you know, different levels of people in the military can be held to different levels of accountability by that the admirals and generals way back then.
Okay, Doug. All right, we're done. We're done. Thank you. Folks, look, we've got a lot of people all over America that want to come on this radio program, and we want to open up our phone lines to you. But you do not come on this program, and you tell Grace Baker one thing, and you come on, and we're just going to have to say Doug is not welcome to come on the program anymore. If you're going to do something like that, you do not come on this show. That is not right to the great listeners of this radio program. I mean, geez, Lou, come on. If we're going to talk about the Cuban Missile Crisis, we'll talk about that. All right, let's go to Clayton, North Carolina, WSIC. Clayton, what's up?
Hey, Todd, thanks for taking my call, and thank you for doing God's work. You're a blessing. My buddy and I were talking. He is a current Marine, and we were having a pretty in-depth discussion on this virus or this vaccine. And his biggest concern, and now it's mine, after he brought it up was they're going to force this vaccine onto our entire United States military force, and who knows what side effects it's going to have. So say if everybody in the military has to take this thing, and what happens when, say, 70% of our military has these adverse side effects and cannot, you know, defend our country? Where are we going to be sitting? We're going to be defenseless. Is that what they're wanting?
Clayton, that is a grave concern of mine as well, and especially when you see the reports that, by and large, the vaccine itself is more dangerous to young people than the China virus is.
And that's most of our military is young people.
And that's it.
My big thing when I was speaking with him was it's really not even a vaccine. It's a mRNA, something to make it look like the coronavirus. It ain't even a particle of the coronavirus. Like the flu vaccine, that's actually part of last year's flu vaccine or flu virus.
By the way, I've got to share this with you. I got to share this with you. And Clayton, I mean, it's a great point you raise. Just a few moments ago, you know, and Clayton, I have not gotten the second dose of the virus and or the vaccine. I'm not going to because it.
God bless you. Don't
I mean,
do it,
that. That put me in the hospital, and I'm not. I'm concerned. Yeah. They say the second dose is worse. Honest to goodness, at 12:11, or this was 12:11 Central Time, I received a text message from the Tennessee Department of Health wanting to know why I had not gotten my second dose of the vaccine.
Because the first one about killed me.
That's it. That's it.
I'm just glad you're okay. I'm hoping there's no more adverse side effects that you can get through this, but I'm not taking it. I'm not anti-vax, but
nope.
This is not a vaccine.
No, sir. Way too many questions. No, you're absolutely right. Well, Clayton, thanks for the kind words and your concern. And Clayton has a good point, ladies and gentlemen. What is this going to do to the military? I mean, what happens if we have more people like this 21-year-old college kid, perfectly healthy athlete, and all of a sudden, this guy now has a serious heart condition? What do you do then? All right, folks, hang tight. We got a lot of folks on the lines. We're going to get to your calls coming up, 844-747-8868. By the way, want to say a very special hello to one of our listeners from Arkansas, Gary Wheeler, just sent us a little message on the Instagram. And if you don't follow us on Instagram, you really ought to do it. It's a lot of fun. Todd Stearns, FNC. Gary writes in and sent us a photograph of his truck. And, man, this thing looks awesome. Todd, I drive this truck every day in the Little Rock area and listen to you on the app since they took you off of KARN. I love your show. I love Grace Baker. Keep up the good work. Well, Gary, thank you for those kind words, and we're going to try to live up to that. All you folks out there in Little Rock, by the way, you can download the app. Go to kwamradio.com. That's kwamradio.com, and you can download that app for free. Hang tight, America. We're coming back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the program. Good to have you with us today. And a lot going on in this hour of the show. 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. We will be getting to your calls this hour of the program, I promise you. But all I'm going to say is this. Grace Baker told me she is in an irritable mood today. So you folks, when you call it, get to the point. You told me.
Oh, yeah.
I believe the term last nerve was even used.
Well, it's just a Monday, so please just, you know. Cut to the chase.
Got to get right to the point and turn those radios down. No, well, not now, but when you're on the line with us, you got to do that. You get feedback. ToddStearns.com, we have a lot of stories, including the video of that Division I college athlete who now is facing severe heart trouble because of taking the vaccine. You've got to watch that video. Just unbelievable. Also, we are following developments out of California, and it is a mess out there. You just heard from Rachel Hamm, who is running for Secretary of State, saying there are reports of voter fraud all over the place. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us one of the candidates wanting to replace Gavin Newsom, a longtime legislator there in California, Kevin Kiley. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be with you.
And real quickly, how is the campaign going for you out there?
Going very well. You know, it has been a real whirlwind over the last couple months, but I will tell you, I have never seen anything like the level of energy and enthusiasm we're seeing here. People are really fired up. This is a movement that has drawn in millions of people now of all partisan affiliations, and there's a sense that we have a chance to make something really significant happen here in the next 36 hours.
Now, I know that, and there are two big issues here, and for folks to help them understand what's happening, there are two questions on the ballot. Number one, should Gavin Newsom be recalled? And if so, who gets to replace him? And you want to be one of those people to replace Gavin Newsom.
I do. And that's the important thing about the way our procedure works in California is that a recall is first and foremost, it's a referendum on the status quo. It is a vote of no confidence in Gavin Newsom. It's the people of our state saying this person is no longer fit to be our governor, full stop. He needs to go now. He's abused the public trust. And so that's where I've tried to argue the focus of the campaign needs to be making the case against Gavin Newsom. And it's only if 50% of voters or more vote yes on that first question, do you want to remove Newsom, yes or no? Then there's a second question, and those results determine who the replacement would be. And I'm one of several people whose name is on that list.
I want to give you credit here. You've been one of the few Republicans, and you are a true conservative. You have not been out there bashing Larry Elder, the conservative talk radio host who's in the race. You're running your own race, and I think that says a lot about your character.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And that's, I think, vitally important is that we are all on that second question as replacement candidates. We're all on the same team because if we don't get 50% of voters to say, yes, we want to remove Newsom, then it's immaterial. It doesn't matter who comes out on top on the second question. So I've tried to maintain that sort of position that we should all be aiming our fire at Gavin Newsom. And there is so much to criticize. This is a governor who has taken a state that was already going downhill, that's been on the decline for many years, and has just brought it to this total free fall over the course of the last year and a half. And so that's why this recall is happening. I think I've been in the legislature for 5 years. I've been fighting against the corruption and the supermajority, the super-duper majority for 5 years. But I'm seeing in the recall an opportunity to totally change the equation for the people of our state to say enough is enough, and to demand that we start doing things differently.
Well, I like to hear that. Again, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Kevin Kiley, a longtime assemblyman there in California, running in this recall race. How are things going on the voting? We're getting lots of reports here of Republicans who say that they've already voted, even though they had not voted. Are you concerned about voter fraud?
Yeah, I'm hearing some, troubling things as I'm making my way through the whole state just today. I'm driving basically from San Diego up to Sacramento, and we're getting some very, interesting reports of things going on. I mean, what I'm trying to just tell people is, whatever's happening, the worst thing you could possibly do is to not vote. And so whether you want to send the ballot in, you want to drop it off, want to go and vote in person, I'm going to be going to vote in person, then it's vitally important that we get our folks who are supportive of the recall out to vote. Now, that being said, I will say that every single step of the way with this recall, Gavin Newsom and his allies at the Capitol have tried to tilt the scales in their favor. They, of course, did all-mail ballots for this election specifically, for special elections in 2021. Even worse, on the eve of the vote for the recall, they actually overhauled California's recall laws so they could move the date of the election to exactly when they thought Newsom would have the best chance of winning. And so, I actually gave a speech on the floor of our state assembly saying every child knows the word for changing the rules in the middle of the game. It's cheating. And on top of all that, $70 million has been spent by Newsom, given to him by special interests, with ads that the Associated Press has called out as false. They've also tried to delegitimize the recall all along the way. They called it a coup d'etat. They said it's a California coup. So they have thrown every single obstacle they possibly can in our path, but we have overcome each and every one of them so far. And I think we got a real shot of overcoming the final obstacles here and getting it across the finish line tomorrow.
Kevin, I love how the Associated Press describes you. You've got to put this on a T-shirt. He's a conservative who often flirts with the fringes of the GOP.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that means. But the thing is that, you don't have to be a conservative or a Republican to support change in California. I mean, I talk to people who are Bernie Sanders supporters who support the recall. I talk to people who voted for Newsom in 2018 who are like, why is it that our beautiful state is just falling apart? Why are we last in everything? Why do we have the most homelessness, the most poverty, the most inequality? Why isn't my child being taught to properly read in school, even though they're funded $26,000 per year? Why do we have recurring catastrophic wildfires like no other state? Why do we have completely avoidable droughts where we're being told to take a shorter shower every few years? There's no reason that a modern society should have to endure these conditions, especially one that has the wealth that California does, or the natural advantages, the inherent beauty, the amazing people and companies and cultures that we have. It's all just our government. If we had a halfway decent government, then we wouldn't be having these problems. And so that's why the recall has brought so many people together.
And Kevin, I mean, just the average conservative looking at what's happening out in California, and I love California, worked in Sacramento for a number of years. I'm going to be out there for a week in October. They look at what's happening and they're like, what is wrong with the Republican Party? Why can't you guys win elections out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And I think that, we have in the past not had the proper focus. I think that there is, there's no need to sort of adopt different positions or anything like that. But I do think that, there is just room for an incredibly broad coalition if we focus on just basic fundamental issues of good governance. I mean, for crying out loud, pave our roads, manage our forests, store our water, maintain our grid, fund our police, do the things government is supposed to do. That's an agenda that can bring together, a very broad coalition around basic quality of life issues for our state. And so that's the direction that I've been trying to lead the party. I think that's the direction that has really catalyzed this recall. And I will say, Todd, that what's happened during COVID-19 has really put a magnifying glass on the failures of our state government, because California has had it absolutely the worst of any state. Worst lockdowns, worst school closures, worst church closures, worst mask mandates and vaccine mandates and vaccine passports. And we've had probably holistically the worst outcomes of any state as well. And so that's sort of the central underlying theme of life in modern California, is we sacrifice the most, we get the least in return. And it's because our state government is fundamentally broken.
All right. Kevin Kiley running for that recall election, could be next governor of the state of California. Let's see how it goes. Good luck tomorrow, Kevin.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Good guy right there. And a young guy, too, is in his 30s. Lives up in the Sacramento area, and he's a big school choice guy, and I like that, but he's also been defending Larry Elder, and he's right, and I want you to hear me on this. We love Larry Elder. We think Larry Elder would make a great governor of California, but that's not going to happen unless over 50% vote to recall Gavin Newsom, and if they can't get those votes, Gavin Newsom is still governor. And I'm telling you, folks, the Republican Party, if they botch this, they need to just blow up the party and start over from ground zero. It is a mess out there, an absolute mess. And by the way, Republican Party, they're not endorsing anybody here. It's a free-for-all, and so we'll see if that strategy works tomorrow. I can promise you we're going to be talking about this. Whatever happens tomorrow, we're going to be talking about it for a very long time. I want to play some audio for you. There is a report, this is from KTLA, of Republicans being told that they had already voted when they showed up to vote. Listen to Cut 14.
We spoke with several concerned voters here in the West San Fernando Valley who believe something wonky had been going on at Places like El Camino Real Charter High School in Woodland Hills. This place opened up as an early polling location, open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily. But several people tell us they showed up to vote this morning in the special California governor recall election and were told that computers showed they had already cast their ballots. So what? Staffers, they say, were apologetic and helpful, but those voters we talked to are extremely concerned, suspicious, and wanting answers. California native and current West Hills resident, 88-year-old Estelle Bender, spoke with us just a short time ago. What happened today and how shocked are you?
Barry, I went to El Camino High School to vote, got there at 10:30, gave her this, and she scanned it and said, "You voted." And I said, "No, I haven't." And she said, "This has been happening all morning." The man next to me was arguing the same thing. So as I left, I did the provisional ballot and left. I was just really angry. And I saw two women walking toward me as I left, and I said, "Don't be surprised if they tell you you've already voted." And she said, "They've already done that. If I voted, how did I vote?"
And who did you vote for?
Well, I asked the couple, the young women that I talked to, and I said, "Are you by any chance Republicans?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, so am I. And so are the two friends that had the problem at VFW." So.
Makes you suspicious?
I would think so. And still, I'd like to know how I voted.
All right, folks, there you go. We are hearing, we are seeing, this is not some sort of a make-believe thing. This is the reality, and we deal with facts on this radio program. And you already have people in California saying, we have seen voter fraud, and we have seen it before our very eyes. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. This story from across the big pond. So, a guy goes into McDonald's, and I guess they have, depending on what country you're in, I guess McDonald's has different items on the menu. So, a guy walks into a McDonald's in the UK, and he orders a bacon sandwich, a bacon roll. And the guy gets his, bacon roll, and he opens it up, and he is disgusted because, according to this guy, there was a pig nipple in his sandwich. So the guy goes, he goes back inside the restaurant. He goes, "Yo, wait a second. There's a pig nipple here on my sandwich." And he said he was so disgusted that he has decided to become a vegetarian. So this guy, now vegan curious, I'm making this up. So, Grace, here's what gets me. McDonald's actually responded to this.
Oh,
as,
no.
I mean, because, you know, you don't want to go to McDonald's and, you know, end up with a nipple on your sandwich. So McDonald's says, "Well, we use back bacon." So unless the pig is seriously deformed, there's no way that a pig nipple could be on the guy's sandwich.
Yeah.
Because they use bacon. They use the back of the pig to get their bacon.
Oh, no.
So they are
confident.
They say they
are. McRib. That's all I'm going to say.
Golly, Wally. Anyway.
That's why I don't need a McDonald's. I was already convinced before reading this article, and now I'm even more convinced in my opinion.
Well, as Not the Bee reports, who knows what kind of meat they use?
I've wondered that for years.
I'm just saying.
There's been some weird investigations.
Got it.
And their ice cream machine never works, which is
it
now.
Never works.
They're involved in a lawsuit with that, actually.
It never
finally
works.
Finally. Come on.
You only go to McDonald's for the French fries.
French fries and the milkshakes. No. And you want to dip the French fries in the milkshakes,
no,
right?
No, ma'am. Grace, I must correct you.
What?
You go to McDonald's, get the French fries,
okay.
Then you drive to Wendy's, and you get the Frosty.
Frosties are pretty dang good.
And then you can dip the McDonald's fries into the Frosty.
Mm.
That's how it goes.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, you've got to because the ice cream machines never work. So you
never works.
Wendy's.
Never works. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Alan, listening to us on WDUN in Georgia. Hey, Alan, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon. And thank you for taking my call, Bud. I really watch your or listen to your show as much as I can out here, and you're well received here in North Georgia.
Well, you're kind to say that, Alan. Thank you.
The reason I called today, and I would like to say in the beginning here, I do not believe there's any reason, with the exception of overseas military personnel, to have mail-in votes. That being said, there are so many things that have happened in our Georgia election and now in California and across the United States with mail-in that I just have to wonder, does the Postal Union, who has the influence on all their top brass in the Postal Service, have any people who might, just might, want to send some of those mail-in votes to the wrong people since they control what happens when you mail in the vote?
Now, this is a curious question. So, Alan, your thinking here is maybe, just maybe, there might be shenanigans going on in the Postal Service, the U.S. Postal Service.
I wouldn't say all postal workers, but suppose that the union people at the top, their influence on the service with some of the people might just be a carrot dangling for some leftist postal worker to maybe throw a wrench in it.
Well, that is, you know what, Alan, that is certainly not out of the realm of possibility. And, I mean, we have certainly seen enough shenanigans involving U.S. postal workers who have actually been caught. So that would not be out of the realm of possibility. Certainly something to think about. Alan, appreciate the call. We've got to skedaddle here for a break. By the way, we are coming to North Georgia, Truett-McConnell University. Very excited for the Faith and Freedom event coming up very soon. Sarah Sanders is going to be the keynote speaker. I'll be interviewing Sarah. And my understanding is tickets are available for bleacher seats. I think we're going to have over 1,000 people there. It's going to be a huge event. We would love for you to get tickets and join us. Go to truett.edu. That's truett.edu and get your tickets. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. All eyes on Capitol Hill at this moment as Antony Blinken is testifying before lawmakers. By the way, Jack Posobiec, our friend over at Human Events, says that Republican staff have an audio recording of Tony Blinken at the East Hamptons party. He was actually in the Hamptons when Kabul fell. And in that recording, Blinken is heard making disparaging remarks about senior members of the Biden administration. This ought to get really interesting in the next little while. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have with us our good friend, Governor Mike Huckabee. And Governor, it was fun to be over in your neck of the woods over the weekend.
Well, I hope you had a good time in Arkansas. You know, this state loves you. I do want to make it very clear, I was not at that little soiree over at the Hamptons with Secretary Blinken. Was nowhere near him, and I'm probably pretty sure I'll never be invited to one of those.
Yeah, you and me both. I'd much rather hang out in Cleburne County where they know how to cook some prime rib. I'll tell you that much. So. Governor, to get your reaction here, I mean, this is going to be fascinating because the indication is that there's been a lot of infighting in the Biden administration. I think we could see some of that come out over the next couple of days.
Well, I hope there will be some serious questions both asked and answered. And Secretary Blinken has a lot to answer for. we've left Americans stranded. And I don't care what Jen Psaki says, the word stranded is being very charitable. We turned and run. We pulled our protective military away from American citizens and left them on their own. We've had them go back and forth to the Kabul airport trying to get out, only to be told that the State Department has not allowed their departures. We have a number of people who helped us, who were translators, who put their lives on the line for American soldiers. They were not allowed to leave. But there's also a big question of who were these people who were allowed to leave? Many of them, Todd, were not people who had any military affiliation with the U.S. They weren't citizens. Apparently tens of thousands of Afghan citizens that I can't figure out why they were put on those airplanes and Americans weren't.
No, it's a fair point and a fair question, and why that wasn't handled before the military was pulled out of Afghanistan. And, you know, there's been a lot of speculation that the reason why President Biden came out with these clearly unconstitutional vaccine mandates is to change the conversation and turn it away from Afghanistan. What do you think about those thoughts?
It may be the only explanation as to why he would do something as boneheaded as to try to unconstitutionally override the state's governors and tell them that he's going to create a federal mandate. You know, this is not so much what I think, but I mean, I look at the comments of constitutional scholars like Alan Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley, people who are, quite frankly, liberal Democrats, but first and foremost, they're constitutionalists, and they have great respect for the Constitution and the fundamental law of the United States. And they've said that what President Biden is doing with the vaccine mandate, he simply does not have the authority and power to do. Congress could give him that authority, but they haven't. And in the meantime, until something like that were to happen, vaccination and public health is a matter for the states to determine and not for an executive to just make up on his own.
And the thing that really concerns me about all of this, Governor, is that there are people out there who do have legitimate questions. I think we all have questions about the vaccine and how quickly the vaccines were put out there. You've got stories like this kid out of Tennessee, Tennessee State University, a member of the golf team, Division I athlete, perfectly healthy, had to get his second dose. 4 days later, he's in the hospital with myocarditis, and the doctors are telling this kid he may not be able to go back to the team. To dismiss those kinds of stories and to say there really aren't any risks, I think is one of the reasons why people are so hesitant, that they don't feel like they're being given the full story.
And that, to me, is maybe the most it's not just disappointing, it's outraging. Because, Todd, I took the vaccine. I did it because I felt like that my risk, being at my age and various health issues, that the vaccine was less of a threat to me than COVID was. But if I were 18 years old and in perfectly good health, I might have a different view. And especially in light of the fact that there does seem to be some connection between some heart issues and otherwise perfectly healthy young men, more young men than young women, from at least the anecdotal evidence. So why won't they give us the very clear facts on this? We keep being told, follow the science. Well, we'd love to. But tell us what the science is telling you. And one of the things science seems to be telling us is that a person who has had COVID and has natural antibodies is actually better protected than a person like me, whose protection comes only from a vaccine. Yet when the president made his comments last week, he made no allowance for people who have had COVID. When he's starting to put these draconian measures on every business of over 100 people, he didn't say, you can either have the vaccine or you can have recovered from COVID and have natural antibodies. So it's like he's pushing for only one of the scientific solutions, not necessarily even the best one. That's what I don't understand. Why would he be so adamant about that? Why would he not want to make sure that people who had COVID and natural antibodies were able to be exempt from this? I loved what one business owner said. He has 104 employees. He said, my solution is simple. I'm going to fire 5 Democrats, so I'll be under 100 and I won't have to worry about it.
You see, that's smart thinking right there. So there you go. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend, Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor, great show that you have over on the weekends at TBN. What's coming up on the program this week?
Well, let me just recap. If you have not seen the interview that I had with Rudy Giuliani this past weekend, the reason I want to bring that up, I felt like Rudy talked about some things that I've never heard him discuss in the 20 years since 9/11. We've all heard him talk about what he did, even why he did what he did on 9/11. What I was able to get him to talk about was what he personally was going through that day in light of the fact that many of his close personal friends and people that had worked with him and for him were killed on that day. How did he deal with his own personal emotions, his personal reactions, what he was seeing, and the fact that he had to still stand up and manage the crisis and manage the city? It was really a riveting conversation, and I hope people, they can get it at Huckabee.tv and watch it again if they missed it this weekend.
You know, it was fascinating going back and watching some of the documentaries that have come out, some brand new ones, and it's taking you back to those moment-by-moment events of 9/11. And then here we are 20 years later, and we were talking about this earlier in the program with Scott Walker from Young America's Foundation, where so many university and college campuses, 9/11 memorials were desecrated. And in some places, they're not even allowing students to put up these displays, Governor, because they don't want to offend people by reminding them of what happened on that day.
Well, there's so many things that we've got to sort out. I was very shocked to hear some young people, people who weren't even either born when this happened, or maybe they were so small they don't have any personal recollections. So all they know is what they've been taught. And what they've been taught is that America deserved it, that we really had it coming to us. And when I hear things like that, I'm not only shocked that they would say it, but I'm more shocked at where in their educational input did they get these ideas. I cannot imagine that it actually came from their parents, unless their parents are as crazy as parents could possibly be. What educational institution told them this nonsense? Because I remember, Todd, 20 years ago, we weren't talking about systemic racism, about misogyny and critical race theory. Nobody was saying, wow, what an evil country America is. We had it coming. What people did was put flags on their businesses, their homes, their cars, and people joined hand in hand, Democrats and Republicans on the Capitol steps singing hymns together. This country was united. And if we were as evil then as some think us to be now, why didn't we talk about it then?
It's a great point, an excellent point. Governor, we're going to have to leave it there. Always good having you on the show. And where can folks go again if they want to get that, see that interview that you did with Rudy Giuliani?
They can go to Huckabee.tv and then go to the YouTube channel. It'll be right there on the initial page with all of our YouTube videos from this past week.
All right, good stuff. Gov, always good talking to you.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, Governor Mike Huckabee, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, we are very excited about our upcoming event at Truett-McConnell University. We mentioned that briefly in the last hour. We use this to raise much-needed funding for Truett-McConnell and the great students there. It is an incredible university churning out great godly patriots. And we would love for you to be a part of this great event. Sarah Sanders giving the keynote address. We'll have a great dinner, musical entertainment. Then I'll be sitting down and doing an in-depth interview with Sarah. All available for you. Go to truett.edu or simply call the university if you would like to get tickets for that event coming up in just about a week and a half or so. Going to be a lot of fun. All right, we need to take a break. We are going to the phone lines, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
To tell you, these transgender dudes, they love slapping around, smacking around biological women. There's a story out of the New York Post. There was a big fight, and some guy who thinks he's a girl goes by the name Alana McLaughlin. Anyway, he beat the holy living daylights out of a biological woman and used something called a rear naked choke against Celine Provost to end the match 3 minutes, 32 seconds into the second round. McLaughlin, a member of the U.S. Army Special Forces in 2010, and that's when he decided to become a gal and won his match in Miami, Florida, wore a T-shirt that said End Trans Genocide. What does that even mean? Is that a I guess it's a thing. Who knew? Anyway, it's not the first time this has happened. There was another female fighter, and she suffered severe injuries at the hands of a man who identified as a woman. There you go. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Gene in Iowa. Gene, what's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. I know we're running close on time, so I'll get to it. Used to be whenever I'd cash a check here, I had to stick my thumb on a special spot and made a thumbprint. Now, on that protective envelope that you get whenever you get your ballot, you should have to put the thumbprint on it. And maybe whenever you registered to vote, you'd have to have your thumbprint scanned, and the machine would identify whether it's your thumbprint on that envelope or not.
Well, that's interesting. How long ago was that, Gene? I mean, I'm 53. I don't recall having to do the thumbprint thing. Is that something that was done back in the day?
Oh, I want to say it was in the 90s. Like Walmart and a lot of the other stores that have this machine, it would run the check through and it'd make a little pad on there and you'd put your thumb on it.
Interesting.
Kind of moist. And it would pick up your thumbprint.
Well, look, I mean, I don't know if that would be more secure than the ballots. Who knows? We had a previous caller who took issue with this idea of having mail-in ballots for everybody. And I believe that you should take the time to show up at the ballot box and vote in person. And you should be able to do that.
That, yes, you should be able to. Now, I drive a truck, and I'm local now, so I get to go in person and vote. But when I was over the road, invariably I was 1,000 miles away when it was day to vote.
In some cases, and that makes sense, in some cases you would have to do that, Gene.
Yeah. And there's one other little thing I'm going to...
Yep, real quick.
You talk to Donald Trump every once in a while. Tell him he's got a problem.
Uh-oh.
The problem I can see is he's too nice a guy and he's too gullible. If he gets back in, he needs to go in and clean house and put his own people that he's vetted in his cabinet.
Gene, look, and quite frankly, needs to probably ease up on the family members. Don't put them in charge of anything. That's my estimation. All right, Gene. God bless you. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Tim in Georgia. Tim, what's going on?
I got a quick question for you, Mr. Starnes. They're trying to recall the governor in California here soon, and they've recalled senators and representatives. Stuff. Do we have to put up with 3 more years of this buffoon in the White House, or can people get up a petition and get a recall on it?
Well, no. There is a process, though, which is the impeachment process. And, the challenge there is, depending on who the president is, which political party, and the Democrats control everything. So there's no way that first Biden would be impeached or B, that he would be removed from office unless there is an effort afoot within the party to ultimately put Kamala Harris in there. So that might be a possibility.
So the people have no say after the election.
No, sir.
All we can do is hope the reprobate Democrats would do something, which you know they're not going to do. So we're stuck with this buffoon for 3.5 more years or 3 whatever more years.
Yes, Tim, I'm afraid we are, and there's not much we can do about it, but the Democrats could do something about it. I don't think he goes the full term. I think that he resigns or he's removed from office because of the 25th Amendment.
Well, my patience is wearing thin, as he said.
Tim, you and me both, my friend. You and me both. Thanks for the call, sir. Ron, Salem, Oregon. We've got about 60 seconds, Ron.
Well, I want to say this. Thanks for the Godless America book y'all sent me, because we was talking about Nathan Bedford Forrest and how they desecrated his grave. But the main point is this. I am encouraging, as a former resident 28, 29 years ago from California, to stand up in Tulare County, stand up in the San Joaquin Valley, stand up in the Imperial Valley, stand up along the coast, in the Bay, and L.A., especially where my brother and other, the Prince of Pico, Larry Elder, please get out there and vote. If you don't trust the mail, walk it into your ballot office tomorrow, like we do in Oregon. And I'm a PCP in Polk County. I walk my ballot every time. So I urge everybody to pray, then do. Republican better get a backbone. If you don't show a backbone in this election, then we need to disembowel and bring in some tigers and Judas, lions of Judas in our party, and get it right. And in Jesus' name, I pray this for everybody, especially on the left coast here, the eastern province of China, the Pacific. Amen. And God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Ron. What a great prayer. But Ron is right, and what a great note to end this program on. We've got to look, if you're in California, you've got a job to do tomorrow. Your only job, get out there and vote. All the rest of us in America, we've got to pray that Californians do the right thing. And let's pray a hedge of protection around those ballot boxes. You folks know what I'm talking about. All right, get out there, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great day. ToddStarnes.com is the website. We'll see you tomorrow.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.